2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning, and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz. Hope you've had a fantastic week. It has been one of those weeks for me, especially in mom life. COVID is affecting all of us, even those of us who are on the radio, who host shows, who are reporters here, and we have to work from home, and we can't be around other people. It affects all of us in different ways. So we are right there with you, feeling your pain. Our guest today, of course, feels the pain as well, and more specifically because she is an attorney with Holland & Hart, and they specifically deal with companies right now who are have questions around what to do around COVID and what they can and can't require for their employees. So I want to welcome Karina Sargsen to the show. Karina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Lindsay?
So good. How is COVID impacting you right now? Is that a fair question?
Oh my gosh. I think everyone can answer that question. Who has not been impacted by COVID? It's been a challenge. It's had some pluses. It's had definitely a lot of downsides. The pluses, I would say, in my profession was the shift in mindset to go, well, the forced shift in mindset to go remote. I think the legal profession was a little slow in accepting this this new way of working. And of course, COVID forced us to do so. And it has had its benefits along with some downsides. But the benefits have been that I'm able to go upstairs, see my baby. I have three kids under five. My youngest is 18 months. So I was able to bring him to work, which really meant I walked downstairs with him.
Wow.
He would sleep and I would work. And then once he got a little older and he wouldn't sleep as much, I would have him upstairs with my sitter. And then I'd be able to go up and see him. So that was nice. But there are a list of issues that I could go into and I won't. But one of them that is most immediate right now is I can hear him crying in his bedroom that's above my office right now,
right,
for his nap.
And so, I think, Karina, you just bring up such a valid point and something that I want to touch on today, just in the way that COVID has switched us all to more remote working and more online working. And this really does impact moms, specifically women in particular, because we are oftentimes trying to manage home and family. We are trying to be there with our kids, but also be in the workforce. We want to be in both places, and I recognize it's hard to do that, but clearly businesses in some regard are shifting to see that this is an option for women in particular to have flexibility if they want to do both. Your baby's upstairs, like you probably have someone watching them, but at the same time, you're still a full participating member of your work right now. And yeah, sometimes those things conflict with each other. But it's just a great way for women to have, specifically women who want kind of that balance of being with their kids, but also working, to have a way to do that.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about what you do at your firm and how you've kind of seen your firm transition into this role to kind of help women and families.
So I specifically, I'm an attorney, like you said, in our labor and employment group. So, and we represent companies of all sizes for various employment issues or reasons. We are strategic partners with these companies and help them through navigating through anything that really most companies have to deal with them on the employment side. As for how my firm has embraced these changes, I would say even before COVID, my firm is very progressive and open to various alternatives to help working moms. I feel very fortunate to be working at Holland & Hart, and I can go into some specifics of how in my firm it's been easier. It's helped me to navigate being a mom as well as being an attorney. And I know a lot of things that I might say are limited to certain professions that can work from home. But definitely, as we talked about just recently with the going more remote, that was always embraced at my firm, even pre-COVID. I was able to work from home, work at a cafe, go into work at 10, leave at 2, work at 10 p.m. Really, the idea is if you're a professional, working in a profession and you have a job to do, as long as you get it done when it's supposed to get done, no one's looking over my shoulder to tell me, no, you have to work 8 to 5.
Right. Right. Yeah. And do you feel like businesses in general are sort of starting to make this shift where they are recognizing that it's a little bit more about balance more so than the grind?
Definitely there are the businesses that can. I mean, there are businesses that can't, right? We're not talking about here. We're not talking about businesses where you go shopping, right? We're not talking about stores. Sure. There's no way for stores to do this. But those businesses that can, law firms, accounting firms, I'm sure I could list quite a few. Those kind of firms, I am seeing the change significantly. And it has to do with a combination of, one, they've been forced to go remote and have realized that work and business doesn't suffer because of it.
Right.
And two, the supply shortage has really helped with employees saying, well, you know, I can go to this other company and they're giving me these perks. And so it's forcing more companies to reassess what options they're giving because there's just not that many the supply is low on employees. I don't think I'm saying anything out of the blue here.
It's, yeah, no, I think
business
you're
right. Suffering.
Yeah, Karina Sargsyan, we're chatting with her. She's an attorney with Holland & Hart. I wanted to give you a real-time example today of how businesses, or at least a specific industry, right? The legal profession is helping moms have that work-life balance, be able to work remotely at times, but also care for their families. I think it's a balance that clearly there are policy solutions, there are business solutions, there are family solutions, right? And we kind of have to do all of them at the same time. I've kind of come to this belief that we're not going to have any one sector there fix this problem for us. It's going to have Absolutely. To be a combination of all of them. So we'll take a break. I want to dive in with Karina a little bit more when we come back, specifically how her company and what they've done to kind of help her succeed at being a mom and being an attorney. We'll take a break. More on The Mom Show in just a minute.
You've joined The Mom Show. Being a mom can be tough sometimes. We try to make it easier. Here's Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz here chatting with Karina Sargsyan. She is an attorney with Holland & Hart. I wanted to give you kind of a real-time example today of a business out there in Utah that is making it flexible for women to work. They have some family-friendly policies that are helping Karina not only be a mom to her three kids, but also be a successful attorney. I wish every business in the world could do this. Clearly, we still have some work to do, I think, about where businesses land with some of their policies, and I recognize there's a bottom line, right? That they have to meet, right? They have to make money. That's why they're a business. So clearly every business is out there juggling those things. But I do think we've seen that productivity can be there with remote working. We've seen that if anyone knows how to juggle things, it's women. So give us a chance to be able to, balance these things, right? Working from home and having a career as well. So, Karina, thanks for joining me on the Mom Show today.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here, Lindsay.
Okay, so you have 3 kids from 5 down to 18 months. Girl, I have 2 kids, 7 and 3. So I am in this stage of life with you, and I wish I could reach through our Zoom chat right now and give you a fist bump and be like, I hear you.
Yes. I would love that. Yes, I think without using any words, you and I are we are on the same page. Yes. I feel your pain. You probably feel my pain.
I do. And everyone, all the other moms say to me, they say, oh, just wait until they're teenagers and they have real problems. And I'm like, listen, toddler problems are my problems right now. So please, I know that there's more significant problems coming later in life. But right now we're dealing with little kid problems. So I want to know from you, Karina, what do you feel like your company has done well in terms of helping you succeed both as an attorney and as a mom?
Okay, well, I have so much great things to say about my company. Holland and Hart, a few things, then I'll go into a few of them for the sake of time. So as we talked about, remote working has always been allowed, even pre-COVID, because really, if you can get the job done, does it really matter where you're working and what time? Mm-hmm. There have been times where I've worked 2 hours during the day, but then I put in 4 hours and went to sleep at 2 or 3 a.m. No one made me do that. It's on me, right?
Yeah. And no one knew what time you sent what. There's a timestamp on an email, but nobody knows when the work got done as long as it got done, right?
It got done. Yeah. And we women get the work done. We just might not be able to get the work done in an 8-to-5 setting when we have kids.
Sure.
But that's okay. Aside from that, in the last few years, we started a backup childcare reimbursement program. So it's helpful. It's a small help, but it's still something. It shows that the firm cares. So let's say my sitter can't come in. She's sick, right? Or my baby's sick and I can't take my kids to school. If you find backup childcare, if you need it, or if you have to work on a Saturday and you have no one to watch your kids, the firm will pay for it. But the one that I really, really, I need right now in my time where I am in life, Lindsay, is this flexible work option. And what I'm talking about, and you covered this in one of your previous podcasts, is my firm says, okay, you can't give 100%. 40 hours a week, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. Although in a lawyer's profession, 40 hours is really about 55 hours.
Right.
They say, that's okay. We want to keep you long-term. And you've heard the saying, it's not a marathon, right? It's not a sprint,
right.
It's a marathon.
Right.
So they say, okay, how much do you want to reduce your schedule? You want to go down to 70%? Okay, your pay will be reduced you're going down 70%, your pay is down to 70%, very equal. So you're still getting paid for the amount of hours you're working. But it's really nice. And having had my third child, I have to share with you, it's been really difficult to be a full-time working adult and a mom. Mm-hmm. And so I've been giving this flex time option a lot of thought. And I love that I don't have to leave my profession.
Yeah.
I can stay in. I can work 70 hours or 60, not 60, 70 hours, 70% or 60% of what is generally required, get paid just as much or equal to what I'm working. And then when the kids are older or in a year when I've caught my breath, mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly don't know, right, what the future holds. I can ramp up.
Yeah.
And the firm is there to embrace me regardless of what I do.
Yeah.
That's, I would say that's been one of the most pleasant parts of working at my firm. Other firms have this option, but it's not an equal reduction in hours and pay. You could reduce your hours, but your pay is reduced even more.
Right.
Which is a little strange to me that there's actually, I've heard that's the case in some other firms. So that's that. I would, if any company that could do that for moms with little kids who want to work and who are talented and they don't want to lose their talent source, I would say that is probably one of the benefits policies that will just long term be of benefit to everyone. The company, and the mom,
that's
the children involved.
Yeah, because you're retaining
the children.
You're retaining that high quality employee for the long term, right? But allowing them the flexibility in the short term to be able to do what they need and care for their kids in the short term, right? And I think you touched on something really important in that you've been weighing this option between taking this pay scale kind of setup, but your other choice, if you didn't have that option, would be to quit. And that's the problem that we're having right now amongst COVID and with women trying to be in the workforce is that if there's not enough balance for them, they're going to choose their family all day long and they're just going to throw up their hands and say, listen, I can't balance all of this. I just have to focus on my children and I'll get back into the workforce when I feel like I can. But in the meantime, they've lost 10 years.
Exactly.
So what you're saying about retention is this is the way you do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will add one more thing that is attached to this flex schedule, which is the mentorship, but it comes not from just the women at my firm, which I so appreciate having, right, partners that are women. But when I recently was thinking about, do I need to leave the firm life because this is not working for my family and I'm too stressed? I reached out to my immediate supervisor, who's a male attorney, and another male attorney that I work with significantly. And I said, I'm not sure if this is going to work. And they both said, we want you here no matter what, whether that's going 60%, you know, lowering your requirements to 60%, whether that's finding you another position at the firm temporarily for however long, until you feel like you can get back in and do what you do best. Do not leave us.
Wow.
And it was males. They were men.
Yeah, such great allies to you. I love to.
It feels good to get that support.
Yeah, I love to hear this, Karina. Karina Sarkson is an attorney with Holland & Hart. We're talking about how businesses, some of the policies that might work for some businesses out there to be able to have a little bit more women-friendly and family-friendly policies in this regard. We'll take a break more with Karina on The Mom Show when we come back.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz. I'm chatting today with Karina Sarkson. She is an attorney with Holland & Hart. We're talking today to Karina because she's giving us some real-time examples of her company that is really making it possible for her to succeed as an attorney and as a mom of three with kids 5 down to 18 months. And I have 2 kids, 7 and 3, and I am just in awe of you, Karina, and how you're managing to be a full-time employee and a mother. And this is something a lot of us women balance, and it's hard. It never gets easier. But I do think there are some business solutions, some policy solutions, and some mindset solutions that I think we need to have around how we allow women to be successful in this regard. So, Karina, first of all, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. Thanks, Lindsay. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining me today. Now, I don't know if you watched the governor's State of the State address this week. I covered it here on KSL News Radio, but there was a line in there that really struck out to me. The governor talked about how he wanted to kind of make a new mindset shift, a proposal around how we view government and family policies.
We currently have programs focused on providing necessities for families that are poor or in need. But we must do more to make sure families of all shapes and sizes and makeups are thriving, including parental leave, access to high-quality childcare, and mentoring opportunities for parents. The purpose of this office is not to inject more government into families. It is the exact opposite. It is to make sure the government policies are not harming families, and that we are coordinating government services to help parents and children succeed.
And that's an interesting shift that I really picked up on listening to his speech because, you know, I think a lot of times in this state, we just sort of have a mindset that it's a private issue, right? It's on the family to find their childcare. It's on their family to figure out the solution for how you're going to work and have kids. It's on the family to pay for it all. And I'm not suggesting that the government has to pay for all of it, but, you know, just a collective shift in our mindset, I think, would benefit so many of us who are out here trying to do this.
When families are healthy and happy, society benefits.
So, Karina, I'll just ask you, you know, do you see sort of a shift maybe in your profession or with your company that has happened where they really view it as when you have policies that help women and families specifically, it benefits all of the employees?
I definitely have seen a shift in companies that can operate with flexibility, right, for women. And I think it starts from a more business perspective. And the numbers show that when you have women working for your company, diverse employees, business-wise, it just makes sense. You make more money. Businesses are more profitable by having diversity, which includes women and people of color. So I think through that mindset, plus, as we talked about earlier, it's the supply-demand or demand and low supply of good quality employees that is forcing companies to really reassess how to hold on to and retain good employees, because women are amazing, amazing employees, right? Mm-hmm. And but like you said, if we have to choose between family and work, we will choose family.
Yeah.
If we have no other option. I mean, my 18-month-old cannot take care of himself. If I have no other option, I'm taking care of my 18-month-old.
Right. Well, and it happened to me just this very week. I have a woman who comes to my house to watch my kids. I recognize how privileged of a situation that is, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But she was sick, right? Like many people get right now. And so what do you do? I am also privileged that I have a mother-in-law nearby who happened to be available for 2 days. There was another day where she wasn't available. So I had to take a day off work, right? And yes, I have a partner who I can negotiate that with. He wasn't able to take work off that day. So there is negotiating that always happens, right? Between the partners who are parenting the children of what do you do when the childcare is sick? But having, you know, a business step in, right, Karina? Like you mentioned Holland & Hart, your law firm, they cover, if your child care is sick, they pay for the supplemental child care. Is that
yes,
right?
Exactly. They'll reimburse if my child care, you know, that is sick or for whatever reason is not available, and I find different child care. It could even be a family member. It just can't be someone in our policy.
Yeah.
It's not someone in your home, but it could be my mom.
Yeah.
They would reimburse my mom. Right. Which is really nice. I mean,
because I did not pay my mother-in-law. She did it out of the kindness of her heart because she loves her grandkids.
But, you know, time is valuable for everyone. So as much as I appreciate my mom helping me with my kids, which is a lot, and I feel so lucky to have that. At the same time, you know, her time is valuable, too. And regardless of her being a grandma, she would hate me saying this right now.
Right.
She would say, no, it's my obligation as a grandma. But no, they don't have obligations, right? It's nice. It's great. It's I'm grateful to have them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, now, give me another example. You mentioned not only that policy that your company has, but you also have sort of a pay scale that you can opt into if you need less hours, right? You can make less money, kind of, it's not really part-time, but it's kind of a sliding scale, right, of pay. Based on the work that you have capacity for, given everything you're juggling, what else do you feel like your company has tackled that really makes it easy and flexible for you to be a mom and to work?
I think the mindset our company culture has since I've been here, so it happened before my time, but it's the right type of mindset. It's the type that says you don't have to be working all the time for us to think you're a good employee, for us to value you as an employee, for us to promote you as an employee. We want your best when you can give your best, but that doesn't mean you need to be in the office and billing, you know, 8, 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah. And does that not just make you a more dedicated employee? Because you know what that makes me want to do? Turn around and give everything to my employer.
Absolutely. And I don't want to leave my employment with Holland and Hart. I'm not looking for lots, you know, new firms are coming into our market, and these new firms, a few of them, they're much, much bigger firms. They pay a significant amount more, significant, but I would not go over to those firms because I don't know. I mean, I can't really talk. I assume they don't have the type of mindset culture of keeping me long term as a valued, you know, employee that I can be here and retire here.
Yeah.
So, and another part of the mindset that is great is this, we have a family leave for maternity and paternity, and our firm really pushes the male partners and all the attorneys, but I emphasize male partners because it's surprising. It was surprising to me. They make sure that our male attorneys take their paternity leave, right?
Right.
They say, you need to take this time off. And I'm glad they do that because I also say it. I say, you have to take your paternity leave. So when I take my maternity leave, I'm not dinged for it.
Right, right. That's how it feels sometimes, like a penalty, right, for having a kid.
Yeah. And so when I take the paternity leave, at that point, it becomes normal. That's just what we do, right? We take leave to watch the child, take care of the child, help the mom who just had a child.
Right.
So that's definitely another great thing about my company that I'm starting to see in other companies too. Other companies are embracing this idea of unlimited PTO, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
You can take as much time off as you want. Now, data shows that even with unlimited PTO, us American workers, we generally don't take much time off, right? We're not in Europe
to
have that month and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's nice. It's nice to know that I can take time off, and I can take time off to take care of an ailing parent, to take care of a sick child, to pick up my child. It's not limited, nor an advance notice has to be given, right? I need 2 hours off this day, or I need a day off in a week. So it's that flexibility just overall helps working moms.
Yes.
Up and down, really.
I think you're so right. Karina Sark said she's an attorney with a local law firm here called Holland & Hart. We're just getting a real-world example of a company that really seems to value working women and has policies and family-friendly policies that seem to help them. And certainly not all industries can do this. Certainly there's a bottom line to businesses, right? They have to be profitable at the end of the day. So there's a conversation to be had there as well. But I love just hearing these real-world examples, Karina, of how your company is, in my mind, getting this right. We'll take a break. More on The Mom Show in just a minute.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to The Mom Show. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz, here with Karina Sarkson. She is an attorney with the local law firm Holland & Hart. She's a big deal. People know her. She's gracious enough to join me today on the Mom Show. We're talking about her company and the way they seem to prioritize women-centric and mom-centric policies that's really helping a mom like Karina, who is a mom to three kids from ages 5 to 18. Girl, fist bump, I feel you. Just balance everything that is life with littles and being a full-time working woman. Karina, welcome to the Mom Show.
Lindsay, so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to chat with you. Now, we've been talking for the last hour about different ways in which your company seems to have policies that help women in particular, moms in particular. We talked a little bit about how they do sort of a sliding pay scale. If you work less, you get paid less, but you can still keep your full-time job kind of thing. Talked about just the culture around your office where the men take paternity leave and they have to take the paternity leave in order to support the women. So it's not that women have to take time off when they have babies, but the men have to take time off too. And that kind of levels the playing field, if you will, on the gender pay gap and the promotions you may get if you're in the office versus not in the office, right? We see some of those factors play into this gender pay gap that we hear about a lot. But one of the other things I know your company does is unconscious bias training. And so I know you haven't had this training in a while, but just talk to me about what is unconscious bias? How do you see it show up in the office? And then what has your company done to kind of combat that?
Sure. I mean, so unconscious bias definitely can encompass a lot of things. The one that I will talk about is this idea that, you know, we tend to have social networks that reflect us. So we unconsciously tend to hire, promote, advocate for people like us. So in my industry, where there's it's more male dominated, the men tend to hire, promote, and advocate for other men. It's unconscious bias. It's unconscious. Sure. So I'm not faulting anyone for it.
Sure.
The same could be said potentially of women. So how do we get around that? How do we fix that? How do we do it so that we're not just, the men are not just hiring more men and then hiring more men, right?
Right.
And one, we talk about it. We say, be careful. There's this thing called unconscious bias. This is how it works. White people might hire white people. Okay, I'll just stop there on
yes,
what unconscious bias is. So how we try and reduce unconscious bias, we have a few things. So one, there's this thing called the Rooney Rule. It actually started back with the NFL. Some companies call it the parity pledge. And the way it works, the main gist of it is that if there's an open position at the company, we make sure that at least one woman or a person of color is interviewed. So that, you know, if there's an open position, the question is always asked, who did we interview? If it's all men that we interviewed, we make sure before we hire, we interview a woman, right? Or we interview a person of color. We're not giving a step up to anyone. We're just saying, let's just interview, right?
Right.
They're probably just as qualified.
Right. Because that's the argument, right? Is that other people are getting special treatment because they're minorities, because they're women, right?
Exactly. So a few other things. We've started prioritizing, and I should say, I've seen this in a lot of companies that they try to now have at least some representation, female representation in the boardroom, in the C-suite, right? Executives.
Right.
So it's not all men. They consciously try to make this happen. What else can I mention? Aside from that, us included, Holland and Hart included, whenever we are doing a wage adjustment or promotion, they do an audit. They look at the salaries of peers to make sure that the raise or the promotion is in line with others. I have to put in a plug for a friend who is an in-house counsel for a company called HireVue. I was talking to her about this topic, and that's exactly what they do. They will do they'll look to make sure there's no equity gap. Mindful recruitment. You know, we make sure we're not just recruiting for one specific area. So we get a diverse diverse pool of candidates, professional development opportunities, so important. Just because I have the opportunity to work at my firm and I get no more development opportunities, what's the point? I'll leave. I would soon leave. My firm, luckily, does a lot of development opportunities. Let's see, making sure that we have women in leadership positions. Again, that goes back to the boardroom, the C-suite. But in our case, as a law firm, we don't technically have a boardroom. So we have women attorneys that are top leaders at my firm, which really helps me. I see that what I can attain as a woman.
Yeah, well, when you see it, you can be it, right? That's why we talk about exactly. Representation. We talk about that in from everything from Disney movies to boardrooms, right?
Absolutely. And then, like you said, allies, but not just allies from other women, allies by men, our coworkers, our colleagues who are men. When their mindset changes, of course, it trickles down, right? The partners that I work with that are more experienced than me, that give me the work that I do for them, the way they treat me as an equal, but with the understanding that I need some flexibility because right now in my life, there's a lot going on with kids, with little kids, makes me value them, value the company so much more that I want to stay with the company. And companies, in the end, it is the bottom line. But really, who wants to lose me as an employee?
Well, you hear that, companies? You are going to retain top talent if you allow for these flexibilities. And I would argue that, like, yes, it's about money, but you may be saving money in the long run with these top talent if you have these policies that benefit these top talent, right?
Absolutely. So just a few right there. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's a trickle down effect.
No, I love it. And I hope other business leaders in the community can take it and this as an example, right? And be able to implement even not if not all of these policies work for them. Obviously, they're going to have to be industry specific and business specific, right? Because everyone has different needs and different budgets. And you know, like you said, restaurants probably can't offer that type of pay scale, right? But there are within each industries, I think, strides we can make. So Karina Sarkson, she's an attorney with Holland & Hart, giving us some real-time examples of how a business is creating family-friendly and women-friendly and mom-friendly policies out there. I think it's so important. Karina, it was so good to chat with you. Thank you for joining me today.
Lindsay, it was great chatting with you and meeting you somewhat in person.
Virtually, right? We'll be back next week on The Mom Show.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.